Good afternoon, Ms. Geegan. You know what time it is. Don't you touch that. Don't you dare touch that dial. April 8th, 2022. Hi, I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts. We got a lot to talk about today. First of all, if you want to get, you have a lot of questions. I know a lot of you are listening on the air on 103.7 The Beat. But if you have questions, you can go to our Facebook site on 103.7 The Beat WVS or M106. I want to thank my producer, Lady J, and everybody for what they do. One thing I want to say before I introduce my co-host is it took 232 years, 115 appointments to finally get a woman of color, a black woman, Khadijah Brown Jackson. I mean, Harvard graduate, appointed to the appeals court. It took her, a woman, smart parents, smart family, but parents that grew up in segregated homes, segregated schools, just you name it. But she grew up and she will be the new Supreme Court justice. For all you people that might just say, well, the president made the plea that he was going to pick a black woman and that's not fair. Don't go there with me and shame on you. Because 232 years, 115 appointments, and we just get a woman. As a matter of fact, we now we'll have four women on the court. The Supreme Court is starting to look like America, which it should. With that said, we're going to bring on some music as well. And my co-host, Pastor C. Melvin Burns II. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, my brother. How are you doing today?
I'm happy. What do you think about that appointment system and our new Supreme Court judge?
I'm glad to see her appointed. I think she not only was extremely qualified,
put a well qualified,
but she carried herself with dignity in spite of some horrific off-base questioning. I can't even call some of it questioning.
Wait a minute, you're saying that very mildly. The question was just
some were
stupid. Quick,
some were just speeches and grandstanding.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to, you know, whoever, you know, we do this thing. Well, they did it first with judges. They just first to judge that. You know, my parents didn't tolerate that. You know, it was like, well, then stop it. You know, if even if you don't support her, some of the undignified speeches and questions were embarrassing.
At least if you look at when she was appointed to the appeals court.
Yes.
Everybody voted for her, but all of a sudden people are coming up with these crazy notions. But hey, she persevered, right?
Yes, she did.
Okay, the weather, it's rainy outside and 40 degrees. Today we have a very special show for more reasons than one. I want to say this about Rebecca first, St. Clair. When I've called her, she's never said no to get on air. As you know, she is a new county commissioner. She's never said no. But I wanted an update on what's happening with Muskegon Public Schools. So I said, how about let's get Kwame James on, and I'm going to let them introduce what makes those two so special. But the thing also that I want to give them is major kudos, because in a time when people are just knocking at your door that you have never seen in your life are asking to represent you, here is a couple that, you know what, they said, we want to get involved. It's our first time, whatever. We want to make a difference. Please put your hands together for Mr. Kwame James and Rebecca St. Clair. Welcome to the show.
Well, hi.
Thank you, Gregory. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good. Which one wanted to take that? Introduce themselves first. Ladies first.
That's a good standard.
All right. Thanks again for having us. I'm Rebecca St. Clair. I'm actually a city commissioner. I think you misspoke and said county commissioner.
I'm sorry for that.
That's okay. City of Muskegon, commissioner at large. So that means that I represent the entire city, not just the ward in which I live. So,
okay, Kwame.
And I was elected back in November, so I'm and did not take my seat until January. So I'm pretty new in the process, but I'm learning very fast.
Okay, Kwame.
And I'm Kwame Kamau James. A recently appointed trustee on the Muskegon Public Schools Board of Education. I was appointed at the beginning of 2021 to fill out the remainder of Cindy Larson's term when she stepped down, when she moved out of town. Mm-hmm. So I've been enjoying the process of, you know, giving back in a new way, because Lord knows there's always something to give. You know, we've been doing that all along. So.
Right. As I said before we put you guys on, your households are different because both of you guys serve together, but you guys are married or you got kids. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, okay. Our family is what you might call a little non-traditional. You know, we met shortly after I arrived in Muskegon back in 2007. The church where my uncle went and was active is also the church that Rebecca had attended. So when I went to sort of pay my respects to his community, I found her. You know, I sort of fell in with that set because the values were right. You know, it felt like the community, and we started working together in the youth group and, you know, hanging out and whatnot. And, you know, then we found ourselves together, like together. And then after a few years, we had gotten involved with the Muskegon Big Red Marketing Man.
Hey,
you know about that, right?
So, yes, I do.
Yeah.
So through that process, we met a lot of young folks, a couple of whom ultimately wound up turning into our sons. Not to go into the whole story, but sometimes the original home where people are growing up doesn't suit for whatever reasons. And we were fortunate enough to acquire their trust enough that they would move in with us and allow us to, you know, pour into them a little bit of what they need to get on with their lives. They're 22 now. Both of them have gone away. They started college. Neither of them is finished quite yet. One of them is still working on a degree at Western, and the other is in the Grand Rapids right now. He started at Grand Valley, but he's getting ready to start at GRCC in the fall.
Let me say congratulations to you guys doing that. My household is similar, where I've taken on kids that I've coached and other things. And one girl came in at 15 and was supposed to stay 2 weeks, and she's 34 and never left. And but she did graduate. So we want to thank you guys for what you do.
You know, kids need us, and we have to be willing to, you know, go a little extra these days because we've had a little extra taken from us.
Hold on, wait a minute, stop. As I say, Pastor Melvin Burns, he's preaching good. pass the plate, and raise your finger up if you got to be excused to go get your wallet. Please say what you said again, please.
Well, you know, it's real. You all know, like, we have had a lot taken from us. And so we have to be willing to give a little extra too, because we have to fill in our own gaps, really, when it comes down to it. There's nobody here but us.
Okay, let's get into the questioning. And this is going to be kind of difficult because your household is different, because one's going to a meeting and one's coming home. kind of a thing. Or I saw you on the news, Kwame, at a city commission meeting with the police. So I see you guys supporting each other.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like this, this partnership has been the best thing that's happened to me, I swear. You know,
nice.
And you know, I understand how it looks to some people, and I'm totally okay with the scrutiny that comes from being in public service, because I think what we have to show and what we have to share is exactly what the culture, what all of us really need.
But your culture, what you look like, is what was happening in America.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's what people have to face. And if they can't deal with it, see me afterwards.
Well.
All right. So let's get to some questions here. Rebecca, get us a state of the union with the city of Muskegon, because there has been a lot going on with you.
Sure. Let me start off by a little announcement. Tomorrow is an Easter egg hunt that the city of Muskegon is putting on. It is scheduled to go from 10 until 12, with the first hunt starting at 10:30. They have a ton of activities. They'll have face painting. They're gonna have pictures with the Easter bunny. You can get a free veggie voucher that you can take to the farmer's market and get free vegetables. And you can also, they're going to be free farmer's market giveaways. That's going to be at Hackley Park tomorrow starting at 10 o'clock.
So the city has taken on the responsibility of, we were saying, to get more active with the youth. Because we just can't depend on the Boys and Girls Club.
Well, you know, there's enough work for everyone to do. This is actually being put on by CNS, the Community and Neighborhood Service portion of the city of Muskegon. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of amazing stuff, but they have never done this kind of activity before. So this is the first year that they're doing it. There's a need for healthy and free things to do all over the community. So this is a good opportunity for folks to come down and get their kids' pictures taken with the Easter bunny. I know that's something that not everybody has the opportunity to do.
Right. Now, since the last time we talked and you've now been sworn in, you have a city manager stepping down, a chief of police stepping down, and you guys are actively involved looking for to replace those positions.
Yes, I was, let me start with the city manager. We currently have an interim city manager. We voted on that, I don't remember, last month. And that's Leanne Mikesell, who was the deputy city manager under Frank Peterson.
Muskegon Big Red,
yes. So she has already stepped into that role and will be acting in that role while we navigate this process. The commission has a meeting at the end of the month to build out a plan for what we want to do for hiring a city manager.
Okay.
For those that don't know, the city manager is the only direct hire by the city commission. We don't hire any of the other staff. So the city manager is the only position that we write the job description and we set the parameters.
And one that can't be taken lightly. This is something that cannot be rushed for someone that's going to run the day-to-day activities per the charter and report back to you guys.
Yeah, so we are having a special meeting towards the end of the month to spend a good chunk of time looking at what do we want to do going forward. The public safety department, that is a hire by the city manager.
Mm-hmm.
So we, as the commission, don't have a lot of input or guidance that we can offer into that. However, there were two commissioners that were on the original search, okay. And I was one of those.
Okay.
I think it's pretty widely available now that the candidate that they did offer the position to declined. He has a young family, and they decided that they didn't want to uproot and move to Muskegon. So they have declined. And that means that we're back to the drawing board on that. Mm-hmm. As I said, it is the city manager who is responsible for hiring that position. And we now have an interim city manager. So I don't know how that's going to play out. And I will be watching closely and
but again,
as is appropriate and I can.
Right. Yeah. But again, beginning that situation too is something that you don't want to rush into.
Yes.
You have proper people that can run those departments until you guys pick the right person.
Yes, I agree. You know, I think that things work out exactly how they're supposed to most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that it is probably not the worst thing that the original candidate declined us. That gives us an opportunity to reset and take a closer look. And, you know, I think public safety is an incredibly important department in the city. And I don't think that we can overemphasize how important this hire is. So I think being really strategic and taking our time will only benefit us in the long run.
Okay. Okay. Now, Mr. Kwame.
Yes, sir.
Give us a state of the union with Muskegon Public Schools. You guys, the city for the first time gave you guys money for improvements, and give us an update with what's going on with Muskegon Public Schools. I don't know how much we voted to give Muskegon Public Schools, but
when you say this, okay, you're talking about the million. I'm like,
you had to look at your face. Like,
what did the organization, the city of Muskegon?
Yeah, the million.
I'm like, wait a second, did something get by me?
I was talking about the million.
The millage.
Yes.
Okay, so yes, the community, the city community as a whole, did vote to empower the school to do some really significant work. Like, we have a lot of buildings that honestly are just pretty old, you know? And
exactly.
The reality is that, you know, as the years have gone by, I mean, since the 90s even, you know, like the student population has decreased significantly. And over those 20 years or so, the buildings have continued to age. Systems, like mechanical systems in these buildings, you know, they have a limited tenure to the time that they function well. And technology has changed as well over the years, so that you know, newer systems do function more efficiently. And efficiency is huge in that the cost of running a building, you know, is increased when the building systems don't function efficiently.
Right.
And so, you know, we want to be good stewards of the resources that the community entrusts to the school district, which means that we want to have buildings that don't cost more than they have to. You know, and we want to have good quality facilities for all our students. We are in the process, obviously, of building a new middle school. I'm sure you guys are familiar with the fact that the Happy site, Happy Hospital site, has been donated to the school district for us to erect our middle school. Charles Happy Middle School is planned to be completed and ready for students in January of 2024.
Okay.
That's what we're aiming for. You know, I want to be real clear about the date, though. You know, it's not deadlines for construction projects of this magnitude just can't be set in stone like that too firmly, because supply chain issues and construction costs are fluctuating so wildly right now, like that we are witnessing even through the projects that that we have already worked on and are completing, there's an unusual degree of fluctuation in the timetables.
Just even to build a home now, it's like a 6-year waiting list.
It's kind of ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So if you guys, you know, if the public can give us a little grace, if we have to change the timeline a little bit, please understand we are aware of the need to get these projects finished. And Lord knows we want to. It's not comfortable being in the middle of them necessarily either, you know? So we're looking forward to a really beautiful project, though, when that's done. That's only one of the building projects that we're doing, though. That there was already some, you know, as a result of that millage, already some work done at the Hackney Stadium at the high school. They're adding a new gymnasium right now, which is getting closer to finish. Mm-hmm. There's projects going at many of the sites around the district. Bunker Elementary School is next up for a significant revision. There will be, you know, a move for, you know, some shuffling around of students to different buildings while we're working on these projects.
Okay.
So, like, you know, over the next few years, your school might be relocated to, you know, one side or the other of the building or to another campus.
Okay.
You know, just temporarily while construction is going on. But, you know, everything will sort of settle out after a couple of years.
Okay. Pastor Melvin Burns.
I want to go back to Rebecca because, you know, I have a question about the city manager, police chief. This might be obvious, but as part of that research, is there a thought that you might need to nail down the city manager before you're trying to hire a police chief?
I think that's definitely on the table. The outgoing city manager was aiming to get that position filled before he finished up, but his official last day was the 1st of April. Mm-hmm. We have not had a commission meeting since. We actually meet on Monday. Mm-hmm. Where I expect that we will get a report from the interim city manager about what her thoughts are going forward. But it's too soon to say right now. Like I said, the candidate just declined end of the week this week. So we're still...
you know, which is not necessarily a bad thing, because better to him not to take the job and be a bad fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a question all the way from Houston, Texas, Michael Anthony Smith, to Rebecca. I worked under the Home Improvement Block Grant Program in the 70s. Is it still in effect today? Thank you, Michael.
I don't know if it's exactly the same one, but one of the seats that I fill is the commission liaison for the CDBG Block Grant for the Citizens District Council. Mm-hmm. And they do still have a home improvement program that we just actually met this week talking about the resources that are available for people to tap into to help improve their homes if they have. If they meet the income requirements, which are fairly generous, that's one of the things that falls under the community and neighborhoods group that's doing the Easter egg hunt this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They do still have home improvement dollars that people can use. There is a process that you have to go through. It does not require that you pay it back, but it does require that you make a commitment to keep the house for some number of years. But yeah, we do still have a home improvement program, and I think it is likely to expand under we got some dollars from the federal government related to ARP that are specifically for community neighborhood services to help with affordable housing and helping people maintain their homes. So,
okay. To Mr. James' question, some people say that COVID has affected our children, and we're going to be behind educational wise. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, learning loss is a term that gets used a lot in educational circles right now, related to how COVID has impacted students across the country. The reality is that it has been underlined really powerfully that the best way to engage with students is, you know, face-to-face in the classroom. Mm-hmm. This experience with COVID has made that abundantly clear, if it wasn't already. That said, it has also heightened our capacity to engage with technology. And I think that, we're in a position to really lose a lot of the quality of education if we don't, you know, let me back up a second. Just to say it straight to your question, yeah, clearly, you know, losing the face-to-face time with students, yeah,
it's been tough.
You know, also the most important aspect of the teacher relationship, mm-hmm, you know, and, mm-hmm, and I guess the relationship part is really the important piece, you know, mm-hmm, for our kids especially, but for any kids, I would imagine the relationship between the teacher and that student is the reason why a lot of our students would bother to learn the material that they're being presented with, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we have to make sure that we are prioritizing that relationship piece in order to have the educational outcomes that we're looking for. Like that, mm-hmm, that's really what it comes down to. And it's not that you can't have relationship over the screen. You certainly can. You can have relationships that are cultivated with the help of technology, but it doesn't happen accidentally. There are a lot, mm-hmm, of forces that are sort of automatically embedded in technology. You know, just the fact that we're in different rooms, for example, you know, like that are sort of antagonistic to good relationship. Mm-hmm. And so we have to make sure that when we're implementing technological tools in our education program, we're also very strategic about making sure that we are preserving and augmenting relationships in the process.
Okay. We're at the bottom of the hour. Can you believe it already? It's 2:31 already. We're going to take a commercial break and come back. We have Kwame James and Rebecca St. Clair, and we'll be back. You watching and listening, Torn in Two on 103.7 The Beat and M106.
The wait is over. The all-new Umoja Radio Network, home to over 40 black-owned radio stations and podcasts, is here for you. Connect to the world's fastest-growing collection of unapologetically black and proud media, from podcasts to independent black-owned radio stations, and access to the important news and music you need. Umoja Radio is from our culture, by our culture, for our culture. The all-new Umoja Radio is available right now on Google Play and the Apple Store. Join the movement. Be empowered.
And we're back. 22 this April 8th, 2022. And excuse me, if I don't get this out, I will get murdered. So happy birthday to my mother-in-law, Tinker. I'll see you at your 90th anniversary party. And Muskegon, everybody's invited. Call me and I'll let y'all know where it's going to be at. All right. With that said, Pastor Burns, next question to you.
Okay, can we peek in the curtain in you all's home for a minute? Tell us what the dynamics are like with you all both, being a public service, serving two different public entities. What's the discussions like? Just give us a little insight.
Well, it's pretty busy. it actually is interesting because my commission meetings fall on the second and fourth weeks of the month, and his regular board meeting falls on the third. So every Tuesday.
Yeah, somebody's out.
Right. You
know? Okay.
We are pretty good about understanding that, you know, both of us have sort of taken on an extra chore, you know?
Right.
And so we sort of backfill for each other. I cook a few more meals than I used to. I mean, more of them than I do. I cannot say that we're 50-50 on that by any means. But, you know, we make room for the fact that the other has, other business to attend to. And so, I think we are, we keep each other in the loop a little bit about what's going on with our respective organizations, too. Both of these entities in the city are pretty important pieces of the overall community, right?
They're huge. I mean, they're huge.
Yes.
For the community to get the best out of each entity, I think it's important that those two groups work together well. The school district and the municipality.
We don't
share notes or anything. You know, it's not like, it's not like we can, can legally share everything,
But you gotta work hand in hand, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. You know,
I want to go to. Ohio here. That's my sister. Great information.
Oh, dig it.
Well, thank you, sis. All right, Rebecca, you were gonna say something?
Oh, I was just saying we're pulling in the same direction, whether we're sharing the nitty gritty or not. I think that there's a lot of value to us being in the same household. You know, we have not identical values, but very similar, and we can support each other. Like, he can understand what I'm feeling like when I've been kind of ran through the ringer a little bit, which happens. And in a way that somebody who is not in a public office just wouldn't get that. We are able to support each other in a lot of ways, which I think benefits the city.
Okay.
And mutually, when I have struggles with the work of being on the commission, being on the school board, I have somebody who can, give me an outsider's perspective that is deeply penetrating and insightful because she knows me so well, and help me understand. Help me understand better, how the pieces fit together.
Let me go back to Houston, Texas. Michael Anthony Smith. So there's no Justice Thomas wife activity.
That's why I laughed.
No, it's not. It's not like that.
All right, let's go. A question for Mr. James is: we were talking about this before. There is a big mix-up about the bathrooms being built at the middle school. Can you enlighten us a little bit about that?
Well, sure. I appreciate the concern that some people have suggested, because it's a new way to do bathrooms at the middle school that were designed. And there's good reason for it though. And I want people to understand some of why the choices that have been made or put in place. You know, it's a reality that a lot of the mischief that happens on a school campus happens in the bathrooms.
Yep. You know,
a lot of the opportunistic shenanigans, to use my wife's word, happen in the bathroom because there's no supervision. Mm-hmm. And so we've designed bathrooms for the new middle school that allow for supervision in the common spaces within the bathrooms. That's really the main thrust of the reason why they're designed the way they are. So that the adults can, you know, from outside the bathroom, you can look inside and see what kids are washing their hands, for example, you know, or just in the common spaces in the bathroom, they can see that there's nothing untoward going on.
Okay.
Additionally, all the stalls in the bathrooms have been designed to have like full doors, no space under the bottom, no open space at top, you know, a solid door with a lock on it. So that there's actually enhanced privacy in every one of those little water closets.
Okay. All right. So people, you heard it here, how that came up. And I think, Rebecca, you said also, to add to that, that there will be individual bathrooms throughout the school as well.
Right. There are also individual bathrooms.
Okay. Question to Rebecca. What is important and what are you looking for in a city manager?
Well, I think that, you know, to start off with, our former city manager did a lot of incredible work in his tenure, and I don't want to diminish that. Frank Peterson really had an energy that was lacking in the city and really moved things forward in a very significant way that I think we're going to reap the benefits from for a long time. So I don't want to diminish the good work that Frank has done.
Okay.
Also, I think it's time to slow things down a little. Mm-hmm. There has been a lot of feedback from the community that they don't know what's happening until it's already happened. That there's not enough opportunity for input, that the plans that the city is moving forward with don't necessarily reflect their views or their values.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from the commission seat, I can see that. I can also see that it is impossible to reflect everyone's views and values because they are so wildly different.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I would like to see a commissioner a city manager who is actively engaged with the city staff, with the commission, and with the community in a respectful and receptive way that will help us build on what we've already had going. You know, I think that we are continuing to gain momentum. We are continuing to do some really incredible stuff. But mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I said this when I was campaigning, that a lot of people feel left behind and they don't mm-hmm. understand the changes. They don't, if they benefit them, they don't understand how. They don't know how to access the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see a city manager who will really foster relationships. I think mm-hmm. that, as Kwame was talking about the relationship with the teacher and the student, I think the relationship in between the city government and the residents is so important. And right now, I don't think that everybody feels connected.
Right. I think that's a very valid point. And this question goes both to you. How frustrating is it that you have people, your constituents, that have these complaints but never come to a meeting?
Well, you know,
you are the meeting, right?
I understand that meetings are not fun. And I also understand that even folks who are willing to accept that meetings are not fun sometimes just can't make it. You know, a lot of times, you know, it takes a little extra to add that to your day, especially if you have kids, if you have, you know, like not everybody has childcare for the evening. You know, not everybody is off work in the evening. Some people aren't working from 9 to 5 and can just come to the meeting at 5:30 or 6, you know? And so, like, understand that we're not going to necessarily see everybody at the meetings all the time, right? That said, it's my favorite thing at a board meeting to see a bunch of visitors, mm-hmm. you know, who aren't on the board coming to view the meeting, you know, whether mm-hmm. that's teachers or parents or just concerned community members. That's, I think, why we have public meetings. You know, it's the reason that the law is arranged the way it is, so that we have to have our meetings in a public space. It's so that you all, who, you know, I'm speaking to everybody who's listening here, you know, it's so that you all can participate and witness what's happening, witness the decisions in action. So please, please lean in to that opportunity, because, you know, it's what we're here for. It's why we do it the way we do.
I think with technology, I know the city of Muskegon has done it. I don't know about the school district, but I mean, you guys have where you can see it on Facebook, yeah. Zoom, that there are all kinds of technology out there where you can see the meetings.
Well, yeah, true.
Yeah. And I would add on to what Kwame said, that not everybody can make a meeting, and there are a lot of ways to communicate with your public officials. Gregory, you talked about, I always say yes, that mm-hmm. when you reach out to me, I always say yes. Mm-hmm. And while I love you, it's not just you that I say yes to. That has been my stance from when I decided that I was going to run, that anybody who asked for time with me would get it.
We and appreciate it.
I have been able to accomplish that. So anyone who has asked to meet with me or to have a phone call, I have accommodated that, because it is your right to be able to connect with your representative government. That mm-hmm. is my obligation as an elected official, to make myself available. And so I do, you know, and if you have an elected official who is not making themselves available in some fashion to get your input, then that's problematic.
That, exactly. Pastor Burns.
Yeah, going back to the meetings, and I know the state made some special provisions for open meetings online during COVID, but I just observed more people participating than in the past. And mm-hmm. I don't know, for this, like the city of Muskegon, I don't know about the school board, but I know they were live, but I don't know if people could actually participate live. But is there any thought to continuing that? I don't know how much the state would restrict it, but it just seemed to allow people to at least tune in to meetings and interact a little more than I've seen in the past.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, that was an accommodation during the COVID times, mm-hmm. which, you know, are hopefully mostly over, right?
Right, right.
But the state also put an end to that accommodation, actually. So right. as of the beginning of the year here, mm-hmm. There was a new rule in place that changed the way that the Open Meetings Act is applied, mm-hmm. to using, especially when it comes to using technology for virtual meetings. So, like, there's new limitations on just how participatory mm-hmm. a virtual meeting can be and what circumstances are required for that. So, like, you'll notice with the city's Zoom meetings,
mm-hmm.
Now they don't have people calling in,
right,
to offer mm-hmm. public comment,
yeah,
who are just viewing from home. Mm-hmm. The rules have changed so that you have to be in the room,
yeah,
in order to participate in the meeting. Yeah. But the city does still broadcast the meeting, and I'm grateful for that too, as I'm sure a lot of the city's residents are. The school district has, you know, so far we've opted not to, mm-hmm. Because Zoom meetings are a little convoluted, but we have to, you know, we have new limits on, you know, how we can do that. What the community wants, though. So, you know, if you guys need more access virtually, then please feel free to share that with us and we can make accommodations. But right now, when we're in session, we are expecting that anybody who wants to comment at the meetings, who wants to participate, will come to be in the room with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Going back to Houston, Michael Anthony Smith. With schools of choice, is Muskegon Public Schools actively recruiting students to keep their population intact?
Actively recruiting. Well, I'm not sure what you mean by that term exactly, but I would guess that the answer is yes, sort of, but not in the traditional way that we think of recruiting athletes, for example. You know, the recruiting that we do, if the word is appropriate, recruiting, you know, is mostly geared at catching families at the time that their children are starting school. We want to be the school system that your children grow through from the beginning, because that level of consistency, will make them. Will make the Big Red community that much more cohesive over the long haul.
And I think Kwame, build it and they will come, because we lost a lot of people to Mona Shores and Reese Puffer and stuff like that, because we didn't have the facilities, we didn't have the gyms, we didn't have the field, we didn't have that, but now we have that stuff. And we're going to have a brand new middle school. So I think build it and they will come, I think is appropriate.
Well, sure. That's, you know, we have to have facilities that are on par with the expectations of parents and their children. You know, we got to be able to provide good facilities. But more than that, I think it's good programming. You know, are we creating opportunities for kids to learn well?
There you go.
The T program, the two-way immersion language program is a huge, huge asset to our district in that it does attract parents who understand the importance of the increasingly diverse world community that their children are part of. Like, we talk about the nation as like an important community that we have to live into and grow into as we develop. But, you know, our relationships in the 21st century are not limited just to within the United States borders, you know? Any kid today can be friends with somebody in India or China or wherever, through Facebook or, you know, whatever games they play or, it's like these are the days that we really have to play catch up a little bit. The American culture as a whole needs to be playing catch up on getting in touch with how broad the human experience really is.
Right. Got to go back to Ohio. That's my sister. She says it's refreshing to see both Kwame and Rebecca working hard to make the differences in the Muskegon community. She also said I wish more elected officials had the open door policy to connect with them like Rebecca has. And going back to Houston, Texas, Michael Anthony Smith, not athletes.
Because it's
the thing where people said that Muskegon Public School, let's face it, was one of the finest schools there are. And some of us that believe red will always think it's great. But we lost a lot of students, but we picked up a lot of athletes. What's it going to take to get those students back into Muskegon Public Schools?
Right. Well, you know, everyone there is a student. Even the athletes are student athletes.
Right.
And so to me, it's not a question of getting students back so much as it is cultivating the studiousness of the ones that are there now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's making the best of who we are and what we have, more than trying to find other folks to supplement who we are. Like, mm-hmm. We certainly will have that. I feel it's certain that we're going to have more people wanting to come join the party as they, you know, as they witness how we're taking care of the ones that are already here.
Okay. Pastor Burns.
I think, Rebecca, you've been a couple of months in, and Kwame, you've been a little more than a year. What's everyday life like, people recognizing you and knowing your name when they see you out in public?
That is very strange for me. I have always been a kind of under the radar person. Kwame's a musician and he's been the face of the music at the farmers market, so I think he's used to being a more public persona. It's still really strange, and I kind of did it myself with this hair. I am hard to miss and very easy to identify, so I get recognized a lot even when I'm out in a mask and, you know, bundled up for winter. But I think it's okay. It keeps me on my toes and makes me aware that I am always a representative.
What about you, Mr. James?
Well, like you said, you know, it's not really that much different for me. I mean, this hair and my whole life, my adult life anyway, honestly, even when I was younger, I was less aware of it when I was in school myself. But even then, like, people would occasionally remark to me about how I stood out in different ways, you know? So I don't feel like that's different for me at all. What is different is the level of scrutiny that I give my own expression when I'm out in public now, because sitting as a trustee on the school board, I understand it's hard for people to separate my personal expression from, you know, the role that I'm in. So sure. I have to be a little more cautious about how I express myself. Like, for example, I'm a poet, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up to have a really deep appreciation of the English language in all of its splendor, we'll say. You know, I use the whole language, but I have to be a lot less careful about the thing about, you know, about language that other people have feelings about,
mm-hmm.
these days than what it was before I joined the school board.
We have to make this announcement. Two Michigan governor kidnap plots suspects found not guilty.
Ooh,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, and two others acquitted.
Wow.
Just came by the news. I'm going to say this. I am not surprised. All right. It's 2:56. How can people get a hold of you guys?
You can email me at rebecca.stclair@shorelinecity.com.
Yeah, and same here. I have a email with the school district. It's K Kamau. That's K-K-A-M-A-U at mpsk12.net. And you can find that and my phone number on the MuskegonPublicSchools.org website as well.
Rebecca St. Clair, Kwame James, we want to thank you so much, and you guys have a great Friday.
Thank you.
Thank you for having some time to share.
All right. All right, the last couple minutes, we've got 3 minutes. I knew that was going to happen with the governor.
My biggest concern was trying to find out how Tiger was doing today. Then you hit me with that.
I'm going to say this. Okay.
If you've ever been to federal court in West Michigan, you are not that surprised.
Oh, I'm not. When they took so long to deliver, I just knew that was over.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. One thing that I do want to talk about, people, it is so important that you guys pass the word on these shows. And we have other shows during the week. If it's finance, it's what's happening in Muskegon, Muskegon Heights. We have those shows. But the next two shows, you are not going to want to miss. We have Professor Wolf coming in to talk about what do we say, Mr. Burns, about he's going to talk about cultural. It's buzzword that's going on right now.
I drew a blank right there.
It's going to be a dynamic show. And the following week, we're looking for. We already have Karen Bowie will be with us. We're going to talk about this, and my fingers are going up as bunny ears. The angry black woman.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that because of this persona that every black woman is about ready to cut you out there, and we have got to get rid of that stipulation.
Yeah.
So the next 2 weeks are going to be huge shows. This was a huge show today because Rebecca St. Clair and Kwame, I really want to thank them for coming on because people, look, if you don't get involved, somebody will come into your city, township, municipality, or what else, and run. And so we need more people like Rebecca St. Clair and Kwame James to run. My brother... any last words?
No, brother. Hey, like you always say, this is a good weekend to go out and do some good. So I'm going to try and do that.
And our new Supreme Court says good things can happen.
Yes, sir.
Tell your children, you know, just don't let a teacher out there. Michael Jordan was told in eighth grade that he'll never be anything. Let's end it that way. Go out, sow a seed, and do something for somebody. Have a great weekend. Take care. God bless.
All right.